Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Mark. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 2.
Mark chapter 2, and Father, we're so grateful that you brought us to such a time as this to hear your word, to sit at your feet and learn from you. Speak to our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 2, as we continue to study the Gospel of Mark on Sunday mornings, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, we're going to be looking at verses. We're going to look at the whole chapter, chapter 2. Overview this chapter and see what God has for us. And the title of this message is Jesus in the House. What would happen if Jesus came to our homes? What would change? What would we stop watching? What would we stop listening to? What would we change in our home? What difference would he make in our lives if we were to bring Jesus to the house? What would change? What would be different? Well, let's see what happened when Jesus showed up to this person's home. Look what he says there in verse 1. It says, and again, he entered Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Now, when Jesus is in the house, people will hear about it. They will hear about it. As it has been rightly said, if we want to see our families altered, we must get back to family altar. When we take the time to gather our families around Jesus and his word, and we will see them altered or changed. Yes, it is tough sometimes with all of our busy schedules, and there's the kids and their schedules, and there's the two jobs and this, that, and the other, and all this sort of stuff. But when Jesus is in the house, miraculous things will take place. And I know what was happening in many of your lives. You need Jesus to bring a miracle there. And it's only when we bring Jesus to the house that that will take place. So we're going to see how this miraculous thing will take place as we unfold this chapter. Look what he says there in verse 2. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive him, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. No doubt people hearing that Jesus healed the sick and opened the eyes of the blind and lepers were cleansed and came to this house, packed it out. They were probably disappointed at first when he started to preach the word to them. But Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Never forget this important fact. Our faith is increased as we read, study, and take in the word of God. Our faith is not increased by willful thinking or wishful thinking, should I say, or claiming or I claim this and claim that. No, it is by hearing the word of God. Hearing what God did for his people throughout the entire Bible increases our faith. And we say what God did for them, he can do for us. So as the people came and packed this little house to where verse 2 says there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, he preached the word to them. This is what will happen to a spiritual house, a church as well. When Jesus is there, people will come and pack the place out, to where there would no longer be room to receive them, not even near the door. So these churches would have to go to multiple services, build bigger houses or churches. And we see this happening around this world where Jesus is exalted. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. Yes, the immediate context of that is speaking of the crucifixion, but the application, when Jesus is exalted in worship and exalted in his word, he'll draw all folks to him. You don't have to use gimmicks and all kind of things to try to get people to come. Folks will come because Jesus is in the house. Look what it says there in verses 3-5. Says, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they had could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, here's Jesus preaching the word and, you know, saying they can be forgiven, their sins can be forgiven. It's all good. It was just great. Everything was going well. And then all of a sudden, you know, then folks just start wiping off and look up. There's this dirt coming, dirt starting to come down on their head. They looking up what's going on. Then I said, you see a head, you know, pop through. And then, yo, okay, yeah, he right there. Keep digging. And they digging through. And then they lower this guy on this pallet right in front of Jesus. This must have blown their minds. These four friends bringing their paralyzed friend to Jesus. Now watch this. This is where true friendship is. Bringing your friends to Jesus like these men did. They went the extra mile. They didn't allow the crowd or the obstacles to hinder or keep them from getting their friend to Jesus. They tore through the roof to get to him. Let me ask you this. How far are you willing to go to get people to Jesus? Let these friends be an example to us. You talk to someone, "Hey, you want to come to church with me?" "Yeah, no, I don't want no church. What are you talking to me about church?" "Hey, okay. I won't bring it up again. Sorry." They went the extra mile. Because you have to understand that in that particular day, especially in the summertime, that what they built the homes with flat roofs on the top, and they had a stairway that was on the outside of the house to get up to the roof. Because in the summer times and stuff, it was too hot to be on the inside. And on top of that, they went on top of the roof to reflect on the Lord and to pray and that sort of thing. So it was not uncommon for them to have their stairway going up and that sort of thing. But the thing about it, they could have easily have seen the crowd and said, "Dude, man, it's too many people here, man. No, we're out of here. You catch Jesus on the next go round, you know." But no. They didn't allow the obstacles. They didn't allow anything to hinder or keep them from getting their friend to Jesus. And I wonder how far we're willing to go. All of us have friends and family members and folks that we know that don't know the Lord. And how far are we willing to go to get them to Jesus? "Hey, you know, so-and-so is, and you know, at church, yeah, you know, I go to this church and, you know, you want to come with me? Where is it at?" "It's in Newport News." "Newport News? Oh, that's far away." "Well, you know, where you live? I can come pick you up." "Well, I live in Hampton." "Really? What? You live in Hampton? But we'll go way up to, you know, Short Pump and go shopping. We go way down to MacArthur Mall. We go wherever we want to go. But we talking about, oh, we can go to church and it's in Newport News. Where you live?" "Yorktown." Wow. And I just wonder how far are we willing to go to get folks to Jesus? I just wonder. It's just a thought. I just wonder how far are we willing to go to get folks to Jesus? Let these friends be an example. Let it be an example to us. I want you to notice how Jesus said in verse 5. Notice he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, I'm sure these friends were thinking, he's not here for forgiveness. He's here for healing. But Jesus was dealing with the root problem, which was the most important. See, many scholars and historians suggest that this man was paralyzed as a result of an immoral lifestyle. And if this were the case, then the need to be forgiven was eating at his heart. Jesus always deals with the root of the problem, and the root is always sin. Even though what Jesus said might have frustrated the four friends, it was just what this man longed to hear. And I believe that there are people here today paralyzed because of some sin in your life, not able to get on your feet, keep falling down because of the sin, and you too long to hear that you can be forgiven. Jesus wants you to walk again, but right now some sin is paralyzing you. And I believe he's speaking to your heart about what that is. You need to come to Jesus and deal with the root of the problem, which is the sin, and watch what Jesus does in your life. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. And surely, surely, seeing what's going on around here, everyone was excited about what was going on. Okay, let's see. Verses 6 through 12. It says, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Now, when Jesus is doing something in your life, you will always have people questioning you, doubting what God is doing. And the worst ones are religious people. According to verse 6, it was the scribes. Now, the scribes were made up of mostly Pharisees, which were the conservative religious leaders of the day. And they were considered the experts in the law of Moses. In other words, it will be religious, church-going people who will give you the most problems. Now, let me just say this. I don't have problems with people who don't have a relationship with the Lord, people of the world, people who I go to the gym and I hang out with them, I shoot hoops with them, I laugh it up with them and all that sort of stuff. I don't have problems with folks like that. I go back home and go back to family reunions, or I go back to high school reunions and that sort of thing. I don't have a problem with the people of the world. I don't have a problem with their language. I don't have a problem with what they're doing. I used to do the same stuff. I don't have a problem with them. You want to know who the people I have a problem with? Church folk, religious people. Those are the folks I've had more headaches in my entire life from church-going religious folks. Those are the ones you will have a problem with. Those are the ones that constantly keep me up at night. You hear what I'm saying? Church religious folks. Those are the worst ones. If you read the Gospels, who gave Jesus the most problems? The religious folks, scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the mother seas. They gave him the worst problems. These folks. And I've had the most headaches, the most heartache, the most stomach aches and ulcers and all kind of things from religious church people. Those are the ones. I'm telling you, sometimes I'm telling you. I'd rather hang out at the gym than with church folks. I'm going to tell you that right now, because church folks are a trip. Religious church people. I'd rather go to the gym and hang out. At least I know where they stand. I know where they stand. I know what they're doing in their lives. I understand them. I used to be there too. I'd rather hang out with them sometime. You get around them church folk, then they laugh in your face and got the knife going right in the back. And I'm like, did I just feel something sharp? And they're right there smiling in your face, turning it. Church folks, I'm telling you, they gave Jesus the worst problem, religious people. And they will give you, just keep living. Just keep living. You'll find out what I'm saying is true. Now, the scribes were correct when they said in verse 7 that only God can forgive sins, but they failed to recognize Jesus as God in human flesh. When Jesus said in verse 9, which is easier to say your sins are forgiven, or arise, take up your bed and walk? What Jesus is saying is both of these things are equally easy for me to do. I wonder if we really believe this, that nothing is too hard for God. Look at your circumstances. Do you believe that everything is equally easy to God? Do you believe that for God, it is equally easy for him to heal you of cancer than it is to heal your headache? Now, we shake our heads and say, yeah, we believe that. But why is it that in our practice, we do something different? Someone come up and say, you know what? I got a headache. Can you just lift me up in your prayers? It's just, one of those headaches that's in the back here, Oh, okay. All right. Oh, Lord, I just pray for my brother here. Lord, just heal him of his headache. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, bro, in about 5 minutes, I got a couple Motrins that you can take, just in case. But if someone came and said, the test came back positive, that I have cancer, can you pray for me? You got cancer? Really? You got cancer? Oh, okay, let's pray. Okay, right now, let's pray. Lord! And it come up from my toe. And then when you touching them, your hand is trembling. Please heal them. What is cancer? Really? Why didn't we just say, Lord, I just pray for my brother here. Lord, you're the great physician. And Lord, we know you can heal this cancer just like you can heal a headache. Why is it that our tone changed? Why is it that prayer came from my toes all the way up through our body and trembled through the hand? Why didn't it do that for the headache? I don't understand that. See, we don't believe that everything is equally easy to God. We believe that there are something we really got to call on him for. And then there are some things we can just, we can call on him, but then that doesn't work here. Couple Motrins, in the military, everything, Motrin fix everything, cancer, everything, Motrin. There you go. Take some Motrin. It was like that when I was in the Marine Corps, just, leg blown off. Okay, here's some Motrin. Hey, what? Gave us Motrin for everything. My goodness. So Jesus is saying, he says, if I say your sins are forgiven, how will anyone know that they're forgiven? That's on the inside. But if I tell a paralyzed man to stand up and walk and he walks, you would know that I not only have the power to heal, but I also have the power to forgive sins as well. So verse 12 says that the man got up and walked out in the presence of the people, and they were amazed and glorified God. Look at verses 13 through 17. It said, then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. And now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, Levi, who was also known as Matthew, was a tax collector. He worked for the IRS of the day, and they were despised by the people because they worked for Rome. And so anything they collected above what Rome required went to them. And so they became very wealthy off the people, and the people hated him for it. But notice that Matthew's job didn't prevent him from being called and used by Jesus. Verse 14 says that Jesus said, follow me, and he arose and followed him. The same is true for us. Don't allow your background or job prevent you from being called and used by Jesus. He took Matthew's previous occupation and used it for his kingdom. Being a tax collector, he had to keep accurate records and books. And so God said, okay, I can use Matthew. And Matthew writes a book. about Jesus Christ called the Gospel of Matthew. So no matter what you have done or what has happened to you in your background, you can be used by God. You remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Now, in that day, women who hung out by the well during that part of the day were considered a loose woman. This is why when the disciples returned, they marveled that Jesus was talking to her. They came back, they looked and said, why is Jesus talking to her? Mm-hmm. And they marveled. They were shocked that he was talking. So Jesus is having this conversation with her. He said, now, you know, this has been good. Now go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. She's like, whoa. I perceive that you are a prophet. Then she went into the city and told, don't miss this, all the men, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. They said, everything? We need to come see this man. See, she used her influence in men's lives and she brought them all to Jesus, and revival broke out in that area. So Matthew was a hated tax collector, and this woman at the well had a questionable background. But both of them were used by God. What about you? Maybe you're here and you're thinking, can God ever use me with my background, with what I've been through, what I've done? Yeah. He can use you. He can use you no matter what. But the question is, will you allow him to use you? Or will you keep using this as an excuse for why you're not being used by God? Then Jesus concluded this section in verse 17 by saying, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In other words, Jesus is saying that he didn't come to call people who think that they have it all together. But he came for those who realize that they have sinned and in need of a savior. That's all of us. That is all of us. Also, I want you to notice how Matthew invited Jesus to his house. Why? Because he wanted all his other tax collecting friends to meet Jesus. And I say, oh, how we need to have more what we call Matthew parties, where we invite friends and family members and coworkers who we know don't know the Lord, and let them mingle with Some real Christians, not some religious, spiritual, super church folks. Some real Christians. And let them introduce them to Jesus. See, watch this. If somebody like Matthew had invited you to one of his Matthew parties, you'd have been too spiritual to go. You'd have been more spiritual than Jesus. Jesus went. You'd have been like, who's going to be there? Oh, you know, all my other, you know, tax collecting friends and folks and all those folks, they're going to be there. Oh, well, let me pray about it. The next thing you know, oh man, you know, the party's tonight. You coming? Well, the Lord just wasn't leading me. See, you super spiritual people, you stay away from those parties. We want some real Christians that's going to go and introduce them to Jesus. The real, those super spiritual church going folks, the ones that cause more ache and pain in the church, you stay away from those Matthew parties. And see, that's why you don't go to high school reunions. You're too spiritual. Yeah, I don't want to be around there because it's going to be smoking and drinking and playing that music. Did you forget you used to do that? Did you forget you were right along with them? And on some of my worship songs, I can still see y'all. Y'all still got a little bit left. I'm just saying. Y'all got a little bit left in you. So you should be first ones there. Jesus went. He was invited and he went. I love that about Jesus. Look at verses 18 to 22. Said the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting, and then they came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvaryNN.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608. And receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear The Word Made Plain.